the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Voitin.
During a break, I was going back and forth, and Chef said something that I'm still bothered by, and I hope it comes up, Ursula, on agree to disagree.
And what's that?
It's about, is it possible to think that your significant other, when you first met them, was a 10?
Absolutely.
And I keep going back and forth, and I'm like, actually,
no.
Yeah.
I said, if you just saw a photo of your significant other, never met them before in your life,
yes.
How many people out of 100 would rate them a 10?
I can't say out of 100, but you can't, as my good buddy Ursula says, you can't make a sweeping statement. And there are some people out there, when they first saw their spouse-to-be or significant other-to-be, that thought, oh my goodness, that is a 10. It's possible.
It's possible. You're right. But I also don't think that most people are being honest. They would rate that person as, like, supermodel level attractive, top tier of most attractive people in the world based on physical appearance alone.
Okay. Let's get
I
to
don't
it.
Buy it.
Ursula, good morning to you, my friend. 11 o'clock hour.
Yes. We haven't even started, and we're already agreeing to disagree.
Yeah.
So, yes, it is going to be another packed hour. Mm-hmm. We always love to connect with you. 888-973-5476. 888-973-CHIRO. I will just put out a word of warning because for some reason we've had a few more what we sometimes call trolls. So a few more people who are sending in things just to try to get under our skin. And you know what? Texting is a privilege, and we love to connect with you, but we just ask that you not be disrespectful.
And then all they do is they go up to our higher-ups and say, I was blocked. Why? Okay. Agree to disagree, brought to you by Guardian Roofing and Gutters.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves. Just really go at it.
So I want to catch up on a story that kind of popped over the weekend. There was this 17-year-old Mariners superfan who caught the home run that ended a decades-long playoff drought for the Mariners and sent them to the playoffs. Marshawn Roman is the kid's name. He got to step on the field and meet Cal Raleigh. And Cal asked him if he could have the ball because, you know, it's a very special ball for Cal. I believe he got a signed ball and a bat in exchange for it. What a sweet story.
Perfect.
Gee, should he have given the ball away?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
No. He caught the ball. And, what's the ball worth it to you guys? Oh, the ball is only worth, you come down on the field, here's a signed ball and a signed bat, and basically the 17-year-old can be like, nope, it's worth more than that. Value on something is worth what somebody will pay for it. So if they are saying, you know what, we're only going to give this, then you don't need it. Go ahead.
That sounds so selfish.
Because we live in a very non-selfish society.
And that's why I'm so surprised, because you normally talk about not being selfish. Who's going to care about that ball more, this teenager or Cal, who obviously has every reason to want to have that ball? You just said yourself yesterday that that home run was not going to go down in history as one of the best, you know, plays ever, whatever
did.
It is. But
sure
for Cal, that is a huge thing, and that would mean so much more to him. I love hearing about teenagers like the kid who gave the ball back. And great. I think that it's wonderful that he got a signed ball. He got a chance to meet Cal himself.
Ooh.
And he'll always be able to share that story. He's got
that
pictures,
moment,
et cetera.
The video.
So what's the ball worth? If
probably not that much.
Whoa. Oh, wait. Time out. I'm confused. Yesterday,
it's worth a lot
I
to Cal.
Yesterday, I said that the Cal Raleigh home run will not be one of the top plays in Seattle sports history. Most people disagree with me. Now I ask, what's the ball worth? And you guys are saying, or you're saying, not that much. Which one is it?
I would agree with you, G, because, look, there are people in this town that have a lot of money, and there are a lot of people who are huge sports fans. You were talking about the baseball that ended the Mariners' playoff drought. It might not be worth, let's see, more than $5,000 right now, but I'd probably put it about $5,000. In 10 years, that ball will probably be worth $50,000. And you can go to the team store, right, and buy a signed bat for $100 and a signed ball for $50. $200 prize. Why should you give away something that you caught, that you legally own, for $200? That's crazy to me. Now, if it's a foul ball, right, the first home run a rookie ever gets, that ball is the same as pretty much any other ball. But that one, man, and you know what teams do? They will actually, they'll send staff over to your seat if you catch a very special ball, and they will pressure you to trade it. They'll say, okay, so how about we just have that player sign up a different ball for you, and then we'll give him this one. And if you say no, then they'll come back with a second offer or a third. There have been intense negotiations about this, and this young man is very sweet. I love his heart. Yet, at the same time, he probably did not realize in that moment what asset he was holding on to.
Ursula?
I would say, first of all, what makes it his ball because he caught it? What rule says that it's his ball? Doesn't it belong?
Finders keepers, Ursula.
Because we've always done it that way,
yeah,
right?
Because all the home runs usually, you know.
Yes, but it really isn't that kid's ball.
Legally, they can't. No, yeah. Legally, they cannot take it away from him. I mean, there have been court cases over this. Let's see, what was the 700th home run. I forget, it was Sammy Sosa or someone else. That ball went for like $800,000. There have been huge court cases about home run balls. And it is legal. If you catch it, it's your property. It's not like a football in the NFL where you have to give that sucker back. In baseball, you keep it.
I sold, and I just saw a text message. Somebody says, G should have been out there on the field to auction off that ball. And I could have done that for the Mariners. But just last Monday, Ursula, I auctioned off a signed Quandre Diggs jersey. Quandre Diggs, safety for the Seattle Seahawks. That went for $6,500. A signed jersey went for $6,500.
At an auction.
At an auction.
Right.
So what do you think that this baseball would come from? I would actually start off the bid. I would start the bid off at $5,000.
But at auctions, you have inflated prices because you are trying to raise money for a cause.
There's still a value, though.
In this
though.
Case, you're sure there's a value. Mm-hmm. But again, I would just argue that in this case, this kid was not being selfish, and he decided, you know what? It's not going to mean nearly as much to me as it is going to mean to Cal, who actually hit that ball. And I love what happened.
How can you say that, though? Like, as a sports fan, that would be the greatest moment he will ever experience in sports, is catching that ball. And for him to own it, whether it's a personal memory or a financial opportunity for him, why does Cal Raleigh need the ball? This guy's supposed to walk away with like $200 worth of merch, right? And then he gets his little video moment, like, oh, I get to replay that little video for the rest of my life. Cal Raleigh has 1,000 videos of that moment. Cal Raleigh actually gets to go to the playoffs.
But he doesn't
Cal Raleigh can be in possession of as many baseballs as he wants.
But he doesn't have the ball that he hit, and it was something that, again, clearly to this kid, means more to him. We're going to agree to disagree.
Sure. Okay. Canned meat is apparently having somewhat of a moment. 85 years in the making. Spam. It's been around that long.
Yeah.
Folks are reappreciating what has been an underappreciated or perhaps appropriately appreciated salty staple of American kitchens, especially in Hawaiian cuisine. well worth its time, or are people buying into some gross stuff?
Oh.
Yeah, what do you think about Spam?
What do I think about Spam? I can't say Spam without saying eggs, the same way I can't say peanut butter without saying jelly. Spam is one of the greatest creations ever. And it's interesting, though, Ursula, because growing up, I know my cousin Darrell is listening right now, and he already knows that Spam, then you put a slice of that government cheese on there, that was good, but that Spam and eggs was lovely. But there was a lot of people back then, Ursula, that you would make fun of, like, oh, ha-ha, you're eating Spam. Now, as you know, you come from a Filipino household.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, what you think about the Spam?
I love it in Filipino breakfast. I love it in Hawaiian breakfast.
Yeah.
I love it with the rice and the eggs.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yes.
But you don't want to see Spam coming out of the can. It just doesn't look very pretty. Yeah.
Fair.
Exactly.
Fair.
So I like it after it's been cooked and after it's on a plate. I just don't want to see it coming out of the
can. There's only one thing that I like better than Spam. And even though I haven't had this in probably 15 years, I miss fried bologna sandwiches. Oh, when you just fry it in the middle of the pan and you wait for it to bubble up in the middle, yeah, and you flip it over. I'm sorry,
and
guys.
And the sides become all crispy.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Spam. Yeah. So Ursula and I agree. Spam is it.
Let me give you my chef's opinion of Spam. I've never actually purchased Spam before in my life. I've had it a number of times. It is actually a very unique protein in that it is one of the few that you can sear it up and it gets all nice and crispy. And no matter what you do to it, unless you literally incinerate it, it will still be juicy and it will still be good. So it is one of the most versatile meats out there, and way better than those canned Vienna sausages.
I was going to say, now if you talk to me about Vienna sausages, no. Although, you know who was asking for Vienna sausages during the pandemic?
Scooter?
No, my mom.
Oh.
There was no shortage. It wasn't like the toilet paper.
I can go for some
Vienna sausages.
I
can go for some Spam eggs and rice right now. And I'm telling you right now, if you're trying to date somebody and you make some Spam eggs and rice and something like that on the weekend, you're going to hook them. All right, go ahead, Chef.
Gochujang, or what's your hot sauce of choice there with the Spam eggs and rice?
Louisiana, sir.
Louisiana. Okay.
Yeah.
Moving on to California, which is apparently pacing Washington State in the progressive legislation department. They have now made it legal for Californians to jaywalk. So you can cross wherever you want outside of an intersection, and you're not going to break the law unless it's dangerous for you to do so and a driver nearly crashes. Ursula, in this state, jaywalking is still illegal. You may not enter the intersection or enter the roadway unless it's at an intersection and you have to yield to cars. Should Washington State follow suit? Obviously, this was brought up in concerns that this was a law that was used on the books to basically harass people who are walking down the street.
No, we should not follow California, even though we seem to follow California in a lot of areas. I would say that no, jaywalking can be very dangerous given all the traffic problems and the fatalities that we have related to traffic. Aren't we like one of the worst states when it comes to it? Wasn't Chris Sullivan just talking to us about that? No, I don't think that we should drop or make jaywalking legal. But do you know what I just found out today? Today years old when I found this out. Mm. Do you know where the term jaywalking comes from?
No.
Okay, so some people think it's because, you know, the route that you take, you're making the letter J. No. It actually has to do, supposedly, with at some point, the name J.
Jay
was Inslee? No, not Jay Inslee, but just the term J was used to describe, like, simpletons, not very smart people. So if you're dumb enough to cross the street and you know, when you shouldn't be, it basically, that's where the term came from.
So this was like back
insert
in the 20s, 30s.
It
goes back to car companies lobbying governments to make it illegal for people to be in the street, because this was at a time when not a lot of people had cars. Some people had horses, but there were a lot of people in the streets. So you had cars, horses and buggies and people in the streets at the same time. And the car company said, no, 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 the roads are for us. Make it illegal for people to walk there. What do you think, G?
I believe that the arguments that have been raised to help get rid of jaywalking, it is to get rid of, like, Ursula, have you ever been stopped for jaywalking before?
A cop warned me when we used to work in the other building, at the other Cairo building, when we shared the building with Cairo TV on 3rd Avenue.
Have you ever been stopped and like, hey, let me see your ID?
No.
Okay, I have. So that right there, to rid ourselves from trying to stop people for no reason, like jaywalking, stop them. Okay, that's a reason. Let me see your ID. Let me see who you are. Kind of all that stuff. I understand that part of it. now. With that being said, considering, like, Chris Sullivan came in here and let us know the state of Washington is the leader right now in pedestrian deaths. Right now, the state of Washington cannot afford to do that. So I am going to agree with Ursula. Just cool it. Leave it alone. I think law enforcement, I think they do a decent job in Seattle or whatever the case might be. Nobody's really, now you don't really see Seattle folks. I've never seen none of you guys come to work and be like, sorry, I'm late. Just got pulled over for jaywalking. None of you guys are doing that, so I want to keep things the same here.
I would actually agree with California. I think jaywalking is a ridiculous law in the same way that loitering is a ridiculous law. What's loitering? Oh, it's standing in one place for too long. Okay, that's a crime. Walking across the street when there are no cars present. Sir, I'm going to need you to give me your license, and I'm going to give you a ticket because you crossed the road with no cars present. That is silly. Okay, if I am in the position of causing an accident, but that is historically how the law has been used.
I'll agree. Hold
period.
On. No. Like Ursula said, no. I agree. Again, as somebody who has been detained and stopped for giving my ID for jaywalking, no doubt about it. I can't stand it, the fact that this happened. But let's be really honest as we're talking about this. It is not a popular thing for you. Oh, you ready for this? In 2022, to get stopped for jaywalking here in the state of Washington.
In 2022, there are still housing associations that have racially restrictive covenants on the books, and those aren't enforced, but they still need to go away. You know what? It's still illegal to almost cause an accident in California. Just get rid of this old law. I don't think anything would change, but it's worthless. Get rid of it.
I don't want to get
disagree.
Rid of this. Disagree. I don't want to get rid of this law until Sully comes back in and says the state of Washington is now doing the best in the country when it comes to pedestrians and getting hit by cars.
Not getting hit. Yeah, yes.
11:30 is a segment that we call at the, I don't know what we call it, but what are we going to be doing at 11:30? Ursula, what you got for us, my friend?
We're going to talk about LinkedIn and how they ran this social experiment on 20 million users. So we're going to discuss that coming up next. This is the G and Ursula Show. Welcome back to the G and Ursula Show. Happy Tuesday to all of you. And here's a question. Do you use LinkedIn? Do you have a LinkedIn account?
I have an account.
I know. I have an account, too. Do I use it very often? Not so much. Chef?
No, I think I updated it last in, like, 2011.
Okay. So we're not the perfect candidates for this story. But you might not realize this, but LinkedIn has been doing an experiment, a social experiment on its 20 million users. And this has been going on now basically from 2015 to 2019. And no one knew that this was happening.
Right.
We're just finding out about it now because the results are being released in a scientific journal. So this whole thing is that LinkedIn was looking at whether weak or strong contacts were better in terms of social networking and helping you get a job. And they wanted to see which one of your social ties were more effective. And they found that your relatively weak social ties on LinkedIn actually were twice as effective in helping you get employment as stronger social ties. Mm-hmm. So a co-author of the study says they wanted to help people at scale. They claim no one was put at disadvantage, any sort of disadvantage to find a job. But again, the people who were recommended as a weak social link more often were employed at twice the rate. So there are critics who were saying, well, wait a minute. No, it actually did have some real life implications. And this, again, was all part of an experiment supposedly to help LinkedIn users.
Right.
Now, I want to ask both of you guys whether this because that seems to go against what I would think. I would think that when it comes to getting a job, it's the people you have closer ties to who could be more helpful. They can vouch for who you are and the kind of work that you would do and maybe would actually go that extra mile to try to get you a job.
Yeah. Have you ever heard the saying, family and friends don't really support you until strangers do?
Ooh.
Yeah. as you guys know, this is my everyday job, but my entire life I have been moving and shaking. Let's just say that. And what I mean by moving and shaking is I'd say 90 to 95% of jobs that I get, whether it's events or whatever that might be, come from either a stranger or someone that I barely know. Very rarely is it like, hey, G, what's happening? Oh, man, I got a job for you. That does not happen. And even those that are listening right now, and you have businesses, you know what I'm talking about. It's not until the strangers love you, the strangers listen to you. Let's talk about this. How often do I have family and close friends post, hey, I'm listening to G on the show? The majority of the time, it are people that I've never met before that are celebrating and saying things about me before my family does. So this study that they have done does not shock me at all. When I read this, I caught it right away. It totally makes sense.
I guess I'm a little bit surprised. I think one element is that the weak contacts that were shown, they were shown to a lot more people. But there is an element of being too close to someone. If I have one of my good friends who is trying to get into radio, right, and they had no experience with radio, no way. Not going to touch it, because I don't want to see that go wrong. However, I have had, for example, some friends of friends of friends who are like, hey, have reached out and said, hey, I really want to get into radio. What's your advice on that? And I've contacted them back and been like, okay, here's how I got in. Here's what I'd recommend for you, because there's no potential personal disadvantage to me for needing to vouch for someone in order to get them a position. I would be much more likely to recommend someone or hire someone who's a weak contact, I think, than someone who is super close, unless I really, really knew them and trusted them.
And both of you make great points. And I think of the people who I have recommended for jobs and people who have asked me for jobs where I'm like, I don't want to be a reference for you. I mean, I can count on one hand the number of times I've had to say maybe I'm not a good reference for you, because I would have to be honest. But 95% of the time, I'm happy to do it. And I know that I have personally helped people get jobs because, again, yeah, you're putting yourself out on the line and you're putting your own reputation out on the line. I think it's kind of weird, and it is problematic for me hearing that they're using your information on LinkedIn and they're conducting these experiments without you knowing it. I think that's a little bit bizarre world. It happens all the time. I get it.
This is 1,000% normal.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I mean,
but it's still, it's like when you suddenly realize, wait a minute, mm-hmm. I was part of a social experiment. I wasn't, because I don't use LinkedIn. I mean, I think I last updated it 3 years ago.
When you go to the grocery store and you put in your value membership so you can get your discount.
Yes.
Does anybody think that your shopping habits aren't tracked?
Of course. Yes, I know that. But with LinkedIn, the purpose of that app is to help you find a job. And what they're saying is, in fact, maybe in some cases, they may have not helped you. Yeah.
And I also want to say this, and I want to be fair, because there's a possibility that I have family members and friends that might take offense to what I said about that.
Probably.
And so let me help them out. I can totally understand why they wouldn't recommend me for that big company, that corporation that's doing an event, because they know the old me, right? Mm. And there's no way that dude right there can come and help your organization
and there's
the raise
problem.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, you only see the upside of someone that you kind of know. You don't,
true.
But you know all of the downside of someone that you don't,
no,
that you
yeah,
know
yeah,
really well.
Yeah, that's true.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Somebody's like, gee? For your event? No. That dude?
But just in general, who you know still plays such a big role in landing those jobs, those coveted jobs.
Oh.
100%.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, so, and if just anyone who's just in the beginning stages of trying to look for a career, you absolutely need to do networking.
Are you... Are you ready to go as far? Are you ready to go as far as saying that a who you know and or reference is more important than a college education?
I think it can help enhance your college education.
You don't want to go that far?
No, I don't.
Okay.
No. I've seen where it has been more important, but...
Outside of a lawyer, an engineer, a doctor.
I'll just say my oldest son, his first job was definitely because he had someone within the network, someone who could vouch for him, someone who said, you know, I'll get you to have a face to face with someone high up in the company. It ended up being like the CEO of the entire company, and he was able to get help getting a paid internship, and that has only helped him for, you know, his career.
There you go. Who you know, baby. It's already time for your text messages.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Show flew. Text messages, your feedback, and then we'll have Ursula's words to live by. It's the Gene Ursula Show. It's G and Ursula, everybody. Happy Tuesday to all of you. It's now time for your text messages. Ursula, you want to start us off, my friend?
Sure. Regarding inflation and worker shortages, 425 says, you all are already paying the extra cost of giving workers raises. All these companies have to pay between $1,000 to $5,000 to hire and train one new employee. When a company pays more and retains an employee instead of losing them, they're not paying to hire and train a new worker.
The state homeless highway housing plan. Mike in the 360 says, at what point, after giving people experiencing homelessness every free thing we can offer, are they going to start at some point taking responsibility for their lives and their choices? Or are we going to be paying for these people for the rest of their lives?
Good question. Would you keep Cal Raleigh's home run ball? 360 says, I agree with G on this one. He'd probably get $5,000 to $10,000 on eBay.
360 says that ball is a down payment on a house in a few years.
And Annette says, Ursula, I'm with you on this baseball issue. No other ball will be more important in Cal's life than this one. Kudos to the kid.
Should people get felonies for running onto the football field? 206 says, I work for the King County Department of Public Defense. I can assure you that there are no consequences if you cannot pay. Even the filing fee to get into the system, which used to be $25, is waived. If you can pay your attorney fees, it is on a sliding scale. However, if you are indigent with the taxpayer's pay, that means that the $3,000 is not totally accurate.
Would you or I... any of you pay if we had a misdemeanor fine?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. No. Strange laughs. Joe in Snohomish says, I went to high school with a very beautiful girl, a cheerleader, who would honk like a goose when she laughed. It was a true honk, not a snort. It was always very startling to anyone hearing it for the first time, kind of like judging a book by its cover.
Roger in Fife says, I love Ursula's laugh. If I worked at Cairo, I'd be that coworker that kept coming around to make you laugh. Hard to have a bad day when Ursula's laugh is flowing through the office.
253 says, years ago, my bestie and I were having lunch at our college dining hall. We always had something to laugh about, but this time the air seemed to be eerily quiet as we heard, do not laugh like that again, ring out across the cafeteria. It didn't really sink in, but my friend was just staring at me with a deer in the headlights look as she whispered, he was talking to you. Oh, my God.
Scenarios. My boyfriend told me he wasn't that attractive. My boyfriend told me that I wasn't that attractive, or felt that way, but now he is because he's attracted to my inner beauty. Darrell,
go ahead. He wasn't as attracted to me. Yeah. Remember, okay.
Darrell, who is my cousin, texts in and says, Chef, you can be a five. Us Scott men are not fives.
You knew it was your cousin right off the
bat. I'll be a five on the humility scale. How about that, Daryl?
There you go. Rosie says, a person can become extremely physically attractive once you get to know them, correct? My ex was pretty average looking, became gorgeous while dating, and is ugly now. Oops. He looked the same at all of those times. It works the other way, too. Tens quickly become unattractive when they're icky people.
Brian and Kit says, I think with this guy, I really meant to say is what my grandpa told me when I was 16 years old playing golf with him. Grandpa said, you don't marry a girl for her looks because then you'll be looking at her the rest of your life. Meaning, if she's not good at having conversations with you, all you'll do is look at her. I laughed and then asked him, well, why did you marry my grandma? He says, well, I guess I was just lucky.
I bet grandpa was a ton of fun.
I bet he was.
206 says, that whole beauty comes from the inside is something most people say just to be nice, but the majority don't live by.
I actually disagree with that. I think most people do actually go by the beauty on the inside, characteristic traits and all that. Nick says, who's to say he isn't now physically attracted to her after having fallen for her personality?
Exactly. And 404 says, Chef, I don't know what world you're living in, but my fiance is a perfect 10. I give myself around an 8.
If you're going to write that in, just include your name so, you know, we can give you a shout out.
360, I think, really, this is truth. Physical appearances change over time. Love increases. All right, Ursula, it's time for Words to Live By, brought to you by Wilcox Farms.
And I love this quote. It's about compromise. Real love prefers compromise over conflict because it understands that the end goal is peace. I wish all of you a peaceful Tuesday. We'll do it again tomorrow.
It is. That's a good point. The end goal is peace.
It may be rocky getting there.
Yes. Yes. No doubt about it. Thank you, Ursula.
Thank
appreciate you. Appreciate it. Chef, appreciate all your hard work, brother. Nick, what you got, bro?
Well, it's good to see our good old friend Bobby Wagner taking care of business with the trespassing from the pink smoke fan of power in the last night's Monday Night Football game. That's no public property for a fandom frenzy on the field. On the other hand, however, no matter the implications of a home run, I'm holding on to that puppy. I tell you what, though, you offer me a bat and a ball for Cal Raleigh's clinching home run, I'm making like a French TV show and laughing that all the way to the bank. No disrespect to Spam and Eggs, because I love that stuff, but with that offer, you might as well be offering me a plate of that goodness. Counter offer, season tickets.
You know what's interesting about Nick playing that? All day during my workout yesterday, I listened to all Yacht Rock.
Is that right?
Yeah, I love some Yacht Rock, man.
Neil Sedaka right up that alley.
Yeah, I had some Michael McDonald, Doobie Brothers. All right, first we got to get out of here.
Yes, the Dory Monson Show is coming up next. Stay with us.
Appreciate you guys for listening. Love you for that, and be kind.
Hope you have as much fun as we have. So long, everybody.